We will
Anytime.
call the property. We'll call the property management committee meeting to order. Can we do a roll call?
Roll call, Director Sheldon, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Bilodeau, Director Whitaker,
Here.
Director Yao, Director Mezquit, Director Nguyen, Director Tran. Tran, did we leave? Director Tran, we see you, but we can't hear you. Director Wigand,
Here.
you do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
And do we have any visitor participation? Seeing
None.
none.
Oh.
We have consent calendar, item number one, minutes. Do we have a motion on that?
So moved. I'll second.
All right, can we get a roll call vote?
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Tran? Director Wigand?
Aye, for me.
Okay, thank you. Director
Yes.
Wigand?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with four yes votes.
Okay, great. Thanks. The other items are informational items. We'll have the status update regarding the district's Imperial Highway property.
Yes, thank you, Director Meeks. The committee will recall that the district hired Voight Real Estate to look at properties on the other side of the Santa Ana River from the Imperial Highway property. We have Mike Burnick on the call, and they're going to, Voight will give us an update on their activities. I'm going to share screen here. Yeah, to facilitate Mike's discussion here. All right. Mike Vernick, you want to take it away?
There we go. Can you hear me, Bruce?
Yes, we can.
Okay, fantastic. So we've been hard at work trying to get a hold of what we believe are the appropriate ownerships here of the really best potential land site to create a access bridge to the Imperial land. And there's a church that owns the kind of critical mass of land area here, right in the center of the parcel maps. Bruce, maybe if you don't mind, if you could pull up the aerial version that,
This
yeah, that's,
one.
yes, thank you. So if you see the green highlights there, that's the land we're targeting as really the most logical and maybe the only possible potential access road for a bridge. And we believed that that land was owned and controlled by the property owner immediately to the west, which is to the left, if you're looking at this orientation, which it says Fairmont Private Schools there. That's not really the ownership. It's actually a church that owns that land. We finally actually yesterday got in touch with them. It's been very difficult, but I just drove out there and got lucky. And as someone was pulling up in the parking lot, was able to talk to a pretty senior level official at the church. And they informed us that that sliver of land that we're targeting is actually owned by Edison and not by the church. So that came as a little bit of a surprise to us. And they also shared with us that they had approached Edison at one point to try and utilize that land sliver for their own access. They wanted to create another driveway. As you can see on site, and it's a little hard to see here. Bruce, actually, if you don't mind, can you pull up the other aerial? There's one that's pulled it. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, that was probably a little tighter than I anticipated it to be, but basically the church wanted to use this land sliver as well for access to their rear parking lot. And Edison, for whatever reason, said, you know, we're not going to allow that. Edison does have power poles on that sliver of land, and apparently it's owned by Edison. So, yeah, this is fresh information as of late yesterday. So I think what we need to do at this point to get a little more traction is get in touch with Edison, their easement department, and see if there's any interest or at least a pathway of discussion that we can open up here. So if we move this project to the next step, we at least know that we're talking to the right people.
And the power poles that are on the site, are they down the middle? I assume so.
Essentially, yes. There's a little jog over you could see in the middle of that aerial, about halfway down, but they are essentially in the middle, yes.
Okay, and they're just poles, they're not the transmission towers.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Well, there's another expense to that.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there is more expense, and we're now dealing with Edison potentially versus dealing with a private church entity, which I'm not sure which one's better. But that does change our target a little bit here.
Underground, it's cold. Okay, is that your update? I saw Mike Hefner was on the line too. Is that the update then from Boyd?
Yeah, that's the update. I mean, one thought, if assuming we can get traction with Edison on the concept of providing a long-term lease for access. Edison, in my experience, doesn't sell property, but if we're able to tether the development of your site with long-term access over Edison's property, and obviously make the developer making the improvements they need to for that to be a viable access point. At some stage in this process, we're going to get to a point where there's really no economic discussion with Edison, because the district's not in a position to buy, acquire, or probably secure a long-term lease on that property unless we're mistaken in our understanding of how you can operate. So then it would be up to whatever developer would ultimately want to pursue the Imperial site to negotiate with Edison and or for the purchase and or the long-term lease over that property. So are we correct in assuming that would be the step that we would ultimately need to get to in this process?
I'd have to have Jeremy respond to that. But I believe the district would not be the buyers of the property. I think there would be a district purchase, right? Right.
Bob, can you guys hear me?
You're kind of broken up, Jeremy.
Yeah, I've got pretty lousy signal, but I can work with Mike and staff to help answer that question. That's not a problem.
Thanks.
Yeah, so the question would be ultimately, can the district in some manner control the property either by an option or on a longer term basis, a ground lease? I assume a purchase is off the table, but is there a way for the district to control this on an interim basis while we pursue development, viable development options for the Imperial site?
I would say generally yes. The answer is generally yes. We have different ways of acquiring property. We have flexibility under the OCWD Act, but we would need to look specifically at the options you're looking at. But I would think there would be some flexibility on that.
Okay, good. That's encouraging.
Director Meeks, I just have a quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm wondering how wide that strip is at its narrowest end.
Mikey, do you have that? I think there's another attachment, Bruce, that actually has the parcel map.
Yeah, I
You can
didn't see
zoom in at
that.
the top. It looks like it's 73 feet wide at the widest point.
Like it's 46.
46, yeah.
Which is
46 at the.
It's a little tight.
Yeah, it gets
yeah,
tight.
that's tight, especially if you're going to have power poles. That's going to take 10 feet. You're going to have
Well, thanks for providing that. That was all that I had.
yeah. Another challenge. Are
Mm-hmm.
there any other questions on this? All right. Well, I think there's no action to take right now until we get a little more information.
As
So.
it's informational. One other thing I wanted to mention about the Imperial Highway property is that our operations staff has had to deal with some homeless issues out there and cleaning up some encampment issues, litter and garbage. And we went out, looks like it might need some fencing out there. So we're going to take a look.
at that and potentially come back. I'm not 100% sure yet, but potentially come back with maybe a request to put some fencing or change out some fencing. But we've got to get a better handle on that. I think that's the gist of it, right?
Yeah, that's
Daniel?
the gist of it. We'll come back with more information on that. That
Okay, now
concludes.
what's our security process out there? Because yeah, I want to stay on top of that.
Right. So our operation folks are out there fairly often, and then our security, it's part of our security guards patrol out there. So it does get reviewed. I don't know how often they're out there, but they do
Right.
make
If you
rounds.
could let me know, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Because there is, I mean, there's a continuing problem out there in the drainage channels, under the bridge, you know, that we try to stay on top of. So the city and the county are pushing the homeless, and if we're not on top of it on this property, they will find their way there.
Yep. Ben Smith on staff has his hand raised.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm over the operations at the field headquarters. So we, in our operations, we don't have a purpose to go to that property. So we, as operators, don't frequent it, but the security visits it several times a day. And so, yeah, they brought to our attention the potential encampment forming. So we've been investing some time the past 2 weeks to damp that down.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, we just want to make sure that security is being thorough, you know, looking behind the bushes, things like that. So I appreciate it. Any other comments, questions? All right, thank you. We have another informational item on the in-place remediation for the Prado Lead Remediation Project.
Yes, thank you, Director Meeks. The committee will recall that the district hired Carlson Land Strategies and Peter Carlson to review the former clay target area out at Prado South Bluff, and really just do an just an overview analysis of potential location to put the CAMU, the containment unit for any cleanup that occurs out there. Mr. Carlson did come back with a memo, and I will put up, let me just display the area here. And actually, we'll turn it over to Kevin O'Toole, just a quick update on this. And Peter Carlson is on the meeting if the directors have any questions.
Sure, thank you, Bruce. So as we mentioned earlier, we had secured the services of Carlson Strategic Land Solutions to look at this property and location of the CAMU. And generally speaking, what was determined was the area to the south, kind of as the property begins to pinch out, was originally identified as potentially a good location for the CAMU, but through the study that Carlson has looked at, has identified this to be potentially a high land value area, potential for kind of a cul-de-sac and double stack homes down in this area. The area shown here in yellow has been identified as being a good area for dual land use. The memo highlights parks and/or parking lots as being a good opportunity to place on top of this, and centrally locating that on the larger property would be ideal. The committee will recall that the former clay target range boundary is shown here in pink. The CAMU must be placed within that pink boundary, and also of importance here is the blue line that kind of squiggles through it. That is the 566 elevation, which is critical because of Prado Dam. So the only the area above or to the right of the blue line can be developed. So those are kind of two big considerations, and the memo really highlights the need for this to be located from a property perspective. It's centrally located to the larger property. It's also important to point out this memo does not take into consideration things like topography. It wasn't within the scope of this work. And also, this will be part of a ladder update that I do give. Because of the topography of the site, we are doing geotechnical work and other lookings at the slope stability. And so those are important considerations that we need to consider as we move this project forward. But for the purposes of the memo that was provided, this northwest corner, northwest area central to the property was identified as being the most ideal location.
And that's an approximation, and depending on DTSC, and it can shift or change.
Correct. Thank you, Bruce, for providing that. Yeah. So generally speaking, this is kind of represented. The yellow here is the general size in relation to the property, and kind of putting it in that northwest quadrant, northeast quadrant, excuse me, of that former clay target range pink boundary.
The property on the outside of the purple is?
Outside of the purple, within the black, is also a CWD property. Okay.
But that's down in the basin, the river basin.
I think the property you were referring to was to the right of the yellow polygon, is that correct?
Yeah,
that is also a CWD-owned property as well. So when we talk about the future development of potential of this property, we're including not just the property in the pink, but also the property all the way to the black line on the right side
To the blue.
This black line.
The black line to the blue line, basically.
Yeah, so this is the property boundary, black line.
That could all be developed, theoretically.
And what's the acreage if you added all of that?
I believe it's roughly 29 acres.
And who is the municipality that the homes are in?
To the right, kind of south, that is Corona.
Corona proper?
Corona proper, City of Corona. And then to the north is actually Norco.
And the access is through Norco.
Access right now would be assumed to be off Bluff Street, which is through the City of Norco.
And if you develop those into homes, per se, what would be Norco or would it be Corona?
I think it's still to be evaluated. Right now, I believe it's unincorporated Riverside County.
What's their RENA numbers?
Thanks for correcting to Northeast. I was experiencing cognitive dissonance.
Anything more you wanted to add? Anything?
No. Good afternoon, everybody. No, I think that was a great summary. You know, our thinking was try to reuse and not just have an acre that's tucked down in the south portion that really is out, you know, at an edge of the community that wouldn't serve, you know, kind of this dual purpose, you know, of a use. And we were thinking that access comes in off Bluff or, you know, kind of in this north northeast corner of the site, and so that you could come in and have kind of a central park feature where the CAMU is located, and that way you would get the most value. But again, you know, it's topography, geotech stability. There's a whole lot of other factors that go into you know, into laying out a site plan for this property. But we felt with a 180 feet down here between the pink line and the blue line. Even with some of the topography, you know, you could get probably a double loaded street down in the southern portion of the site and have some nice, you know, residential value down in that area. So those were our thoughts, and I thought that was summarized well.
And you're going to do some topographical analysis, because once we do this, that kind of sets the elevation for the yellow square, and everything will be laid out around it, because you're not going to cut into this yellow square once we bury the material, right?
So, Director Meeks, that is not part of this scope of work that Carlson undertook. I think generally speaking, the yellow square is provided more for kind of context than it is as a specific boundary. I think we would be interpreting this as being a representation of the size of what 1 acre looks like, and generally speaking, in that northeast kind of center of the property idea, and considering other information like the topography and the geotechnical work, that ultimate location will be refined.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from any of the directors or anybody?
That concludes the staff's report.
All right. Thank you for that update.
Thank you.
I don't think there's any items to go to the December 18th board meeting.
Right.
Except for maybe the minutes, but directors, comments, report. Anybody have any comments? No?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. General managers, comments, reports?
Nothing to report.
All right, except for happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, we are adjourned. You guys all have a great weekend, great week. Celebrate. All right.
Thank you. Bye. Take care.